Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. And we're delighted to have an old friend and one of the top football coaches in the country, Neil Armstrong, the head coach of the Bears, who's been our guest many, many times, and we always look forward to having him, and we always enjoy seeing him. And believe me, as I mentioned to George Halas one day a couple of months ago, the Bears are in good hands. Mr. Halas has no worries, and the Bears have done very well. So we'll be talking with Coach Armstrong. He'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have Coach Armstrong, the head coach of the Bears, at Northwest Federal today. Coach, a lot of fans wonder, a lot of the people standing around here today knowing you were going to be here wonder, what happens with a pro football team at this time of the year? We know you're not playing every Sunday, but what's going on in the front office or in the planning stage, or what's happening with the Bears?
Right now, Bob, of course, Jim Finks is trying to sign the players that we drafted, and we have brought in some free agents that have been signed. It will be with the Bears this coming season. So right now it's negotiations and planning for our summer camp, which will be up in Lake Forest starting in late July. Prior to that, of course, we had all of the rookies in after the draft. There was much planning, of course, prior to the draft to try to determine who we were going to draft. We think we had a good draft. So the following weekend, we had all those players in for a three-day orientation camp.
Now, before the draft, what actually goes on with you and your staff?
Well, of course, the drafting is headed up by Jim Finks and our scouting staff, which is Jim Palmer, our college scout, and Bill Tobin, our pro scout. So we rely heavily on them, and we rely heavily on Blesto, a scouting organization to which the Bears belong. They were one of the original people that were involved in this scouting combine. Now, as far as our coaching staff, Bob, does not really get involved in this. Our coaching staff doesn't have that much time because they're so busy during the football season with our own season, of course, with our own team. And then once the season is over, why, it's begin planning for the following season, summarize what we've done play-wise and film-wise the previous year. Now, I get involved some with Jim and with the two scouts, of course, but, of course, I have to rely on the information that is there. And as I say, Jim Finks really heads up that part of the planning.
Now, during the course of the season, let's say that you're preparing for a game next Sunday, let's say against Green Bay, and on Monday you take a look at the Green Bay film of their last game.
Yeah, what we do, Bob, what we start doing after we play the game on Sunday, and then when it gets into Monday, why, we review the film that we've just played. Already our coaches have broken down about three films on the Green Bay Packers. Thursday or Friday of the previous week, even before we've played, for example, at Detroit. And on Monday, we see the game that they played on Sunday, and we'll put together about a six-game scouting report. So we've already looked at about six games on Green Bay, and then we give the players Tuesday off. We will then plan even further, and then when the players come back on Wednesday, we give them the scouting reports, and we start to work on Green Bay. So it's the same thing over and over and over, and we'll come up with about a 6-game report on every team that we play.
When you have films, for example, of the Detroit Lions, then it comes up to game day, do the things that you anticipated run pretty true to form?
Well, they usually do, but you know, things happen on game day that you try to anticipate what's going to happen, but you don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. So a good football player or a well-prepared football team has to be prepared for almost anything. So there are not that many surprises, but the only surprise is when.
Coach, the day of the outstanding quarterback, like the Otto Grahams, the Van Brocklins, guys like that, has that day kind of passed with the exception of the Pittsburgh situation?
I hope not, Bob. I hope that the Bears will have one that's going to be as outstanding as a Terry Bradshaw or an Otto Graham or a Bob Waterfield. And I think we do have some good quarterbacks on this team. Of course, Avellini's been around for a while, and Bob has played some good football for the Bears. Mike Phelps had a good year last year. Mike is some 32 years old, but Vince Evans, I think he's kind of an athlete that a Terry Bradshaw is, and I think that someday Vince might be that kind of a quarterback.
Yes, you hear football people talk, and he seems to be highly regarded.
Well, Vince is young, and he got a little bit of experience last year. It's too bad that he did come down with a staph infection because it slowed his progress down a little bit, but we hope that he'll be able to play some more for us this year, and it takes experience. It takes time, just like it took Terry Bradshaw a few years before he was really a great quarterback.
You expect Pittsburgh to dominate the scene again next year?
Well, I think Pittsburgh is going to be tough again. Right now, they are the team that everybody's shooting for, and no one has won as many Super Bowls as they have, and I don't see them deteriorating, but everybody's always after them every football game. Last year, they only won 12 games. Well, I wish we could win 12. They won two more than we did, but they're on our schedule this year, so I guess we're going to find out just how great they are. We know they are.
Are they as tough defensively as Tampa Bay?
I don't think they are, Bob. I think they're one of the top defensive football teams in the league. But right now, Tampa Bay is the best defensive football team in the National Football League.
Well, that's really something, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah, we have to play them twice a year, of course, and they're tough to penetrate. Last year, fortunately, we beat them in the last game. We played them 14-0, and in order to do that, our defense had to come up with five interceptions against our offense, and we had to block a punt in order to put us in field position for the other touchdown. But it was good enough to win.
That was really some game.
Well, it was a good
one. For a Bear fan, it was.
Yeah, I think that there's a rivalry being built up between the Chicago Bears and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just like I think there's a great rivalry between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. Even though the Bears have played Detroit for years and years, for some reason there has not been that rivalry that has been perpetuated between the two teams. But after last year, after our beating them 35-6, 10 days later they beat us 19-0 or 20-0, I guess it was. I think maybe the present Bears will see that there is more of a rivalry and there is more of an importance between the Lions and the Bears.
A coach in baseball running a major league team has a problem of trying to get a team up every day, but still they're playing every day and they anticipate all these things. But when you fellas, like you play one game a week, do you have a tougher job or do you think, or do you have an easier job than a coach would in baseball?
Well, I think our job is easier than it is in baseball. I think in baseball, of course, you have to have people that play well consistently, that have even temperaments. And I'm not sure it's that easy to do because you're traveling all the time, you're playing either every day or every other day, and you're playing doubleheaders. I think it's tough, you know, to keep them, up all the time. I think it's the same way in baseball or in, hockey and basketball. I'd rather coach football, of course. You have to get them up once a week. The thing you have to be careful of is that they're not ready to play on Friday or they're not ready to play on Thursday. I know there's sometimes, we say this, when we're preparing a team to play on Sunday, we'll see a Thursday practice or a Friday practice and we'll say, that practice was too good. We were ready too early. You know, I think sometimes that does happen, and by the time you get there on Sunday, a team has already peaked. So that is a responsibility that you have as a coach, is you have to try to gear them so they'll be ready to play on Sunday, not on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. That's an interesting point. But it's the same thing as, for example, bringing a fighter up too fast for a big fight or getting a horse ready for a big race, you know, 10 or 12 days too soon.
Well, I think that's one of the things that you have to do as a coach, as a coaching staff, is to get your team ready to play on Sunday. And I think that's why a lot of coaches, it takes you a little while in this league in order to do that. And that's why not many coaches like Monday night games, is because you're getting your team prepared. You get in that rhythm of being ready to play on Sunday, but you don't play until Monday night. And then, by the same token, I think that's why a lot of teams that play on Monday night don't do as well the following Sunday, because again they're geared to that play on Sunday, give them a day off, and then come back on Wednesday and start again. I think the more experience that you have in this league, probably the better it is, and that's the way with players too, in order to prepare for these games that are a little off schedule.
Coach, as the head coach of the Bears, how do you divide the offensive and defensive responsibilities? What are you the last word on what they do? Naturally you are. You're the head coach. But how much of the business of opinions about how the game should be played do you leave to your defensive and your offensive coach?
Well, to begin with, we have a system, offense and defense, that that I, of course, know what we're doing offensively and defensively. I know everything we're doing special teams-wise on all of our kicking games. I'm supposed to know that, and I do. But when it gets down to the preparation for games, offensively, defensively, special teams, our coaches are really they're the technicians. They're the people that break the films down. They're the people look and come to me with the recommendations on what we do offensively and defensively and in the kicking game. So they put the game plans together. Naturally, I approve of it. And once a game is in full swing, then it's the decision-making time. And when those decisions come, whether we're going to punt the ball or kick a field goal, or whether we're going to run a goal line defense out in the middle of the field during the game, or whether we're going to throw on third down or fourth down, that decision is mine. But ultimately, when it gets down to how well that team performs, it's what the players themselves do, how they perform.
This is, of course, a hypothetical question, and you couldn't, it's a tough thing to answer, but if you decided, for example, in a game, that every time that you punt that ball, you were going to punt it out of bounds, give the other side no chance all day to run a football back, what do you think would happen?
If we kicked it out of bounds every time?
Every time.
Well, if you had a kicker, Bob, that could do that, I'd think that'd be a pretty good thing to do. It would be to kick it out of bounds. But one of the reasons that you don't is because people put the rush on you from the outside. They try to contain there, and it's not that easy always to kick the ball towards the sidelines. And one of the things that you do is you take a chance that you're going to cut down your average on your punt, sometimes maybe 10 yards, maybe 5 yards. And if he kicks it off the side of his foot, you know, you may get a 10-yard punt. Now, one of the things you do is you get a kicker that can punt the ball 40 yards and he can hang it up there for a long time. That's when they started timing football players for 40 yards to see how long it took them to cover those punts. And it was all based on 40 yards because that's about the length of a punt. So we try to get a 40-yard punt, hang up there about 4 to 5 seconds, and then the guy has no chance to return it. Another thing you do is you take a chance every time you try to fair catch that ball down. The guy might fumble it. You might get a turnover. Yeah. So that's another chance that you get is a turnover factor.
Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him at Northwest Federal, is the head coach of the Bears, Neil Armstrong. And we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. We're delighted to have Coach Neil Armstrong, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, as our guest here today at Northwest Federal. Coach, why is it that on pro game on Sunday or Monday night, whenever it plays, we don't see an occasional quick kick?
You know, Bob, that's funny that you would ask that. My wife, she loves the quick kick, and she would, really, that's kind of an inside joke with us. She wants to see that quick kick. Well, I guess, you know, that was the old, grind out theory, and there's nothing wrong with it. Quick kick and play defense, get a break, and get the ball again. Well, in this league, everybody's always thinking about scoring, and so you don't want to give up that down. That usually happens on second or third down, so you don't want to give up the ball. Everybody wants the ball as much as they can. You usually have the ball about 12, maybe 13 times a game, so you don't want to give up that opportunity to score. So basically that's it.
Passing and running, or passing versus running, or running versus passing, what is the perfect complement? 50% of each, or?
Oh, I would say if you threw the ball about 40% of the time and ran it about 60% of the time, you know, on every down, let's just say all through the game, that would be a pretty good complement of one to another. I think you're seeing more passing, though, in this league in the last few years, in the last couple of years, because of the rule change. You know, the Bears used to be, you know, since Peyton has been with the club, has been more run-oriented than it has been pass-oriented. Last year, we threw the ball more than we had thrown it. And as our quarterbacks and our receivers increase in performance, naturally, we're going to throw the ball more. We did throw it more last year. We hope to throw it more this year. And that's why it's tougher to play pass defense more all the time, because the rule has been, they've been changed in the last couple of years to try to get more passing within this league.
Mm-hmm. What does an exciting, I started to say little guy like Peyton, but he's really not that small. What does he do in the offseason?
Well, Walter does a lot of personal performances. I think now he's working for a hotel chain. He's doing some PR work for them. A lot of our players work out either 3 days a week, some two days a week. Some of them work out 5 days a week. They play basketball, they play racquetball, they lift weights. And some of them do have off-season jobs in the stock market or in real estate. And some of them just don't do much of anything.
Mm-hmm. You were hurt at the beginning of last season when you lost Harper so early in the season.
Yeah, Roland Harper, of course, he's spent all of his offseason rehabilitated. He's been working out 5 days a week. He also has a part-time job. But Roland Harper should be ready to play for us this year. His knee seems to be pretty well rehabilitated. In our recent veterans camp up in Lake Forest, he worked out, with the exception of the last day when the field was bad and he didn't feel very good about working out on a muddy field.
He's an exciting football player.
Roland Harper is a fine individual, Bob, and he is an exciting football player, and we look forward to having him back on the team because we think that fullback position is very important in anybody's offense, but particularly ours, and we think that our fullback should be gaining something like at least 750 yards a game.
Well, he's
a year, I should say.
Yeah. If he did a game, that would really be something.
I guess that was just a little, what was it called, that a Freudian slip. I would hope it would be that much. If we get 750 yards out of our fullback in a year, well, we'll be in good shape.
He's a wonderful blocker, too, isn't he?
Roland is a very good blocker. Not only is he a good blocker, he's a good receiver. But last year when he didn't play, Dave Williams came in and did an excellent job for us as a blocker and as a receiver. But Roland, the last year he played, he made 992 yards for us running.
What are we going to look for this year with the Bears? Now, the Bears wound up the season last year with a bang, didn't they?
Well, yeah, we led the league, and we led the Central Division in scoring, so we hope that we can pick up where we left off. We hope we can be a higher-scoring football team, that we can be a more diversified team offensively. That's what people want to see. But the Bears have always been known for a great defensive football team.
Yes.
And in the last couple of years, we've gone from 22nd, to 12th, to 6th in defense, and we hope that we can crack that top 5 in defense this year. And our first draft choice was from Louisville, a young man by the name of Otis Wilson, who we think will help our football team some. Whether he can crack the starting lineup, I don't know, but I'm sure he'll help our team in some way.
Well, he comes well recommended.
He does.
Yeah.
He comes from the same school that Doug Buffone did, who performed for the Bears pretty well for about 15 years, so we hope that Otis will have a good career with the Bears.
Coach, what does the quarterback situation look like with the Bears?
Well, I think that we have three good quarterbacks. All of them have played regularly now for the Bears because Avellini played for the Bears for a few years as a starter. Vince Evans started 3 games for us last year before his staph infection. And, of course, Mike Phipps, who's 32 years old, who started quite a few years for the Browns, came in here, and last year he won 9 out of the 10 games that he started. So his record with the Bears as a starter has been pretty good. And, of course, he's going to be our starting quarterback at the beginning of this year.
Well, I can understand why. He really made a good impression on everybody.
He did. He's a consistent football player. He's a consistent person in his personality and in his performance. So I feel pretty good about the quarterbacks that we have. We drafted a young man by the name of Turk Schonert from Stanford, who led the collegiate conference last year, NCAA, with, I think, something like a 67% throwing average. So we have him coming in here, and at least he'll – I don't know how much competition he's going to provide, but I know that if something would have happened to one of our other quarterbacks, he wouldn't be a bad third quarterback.
No. What are the rules? How many players can you carry during the regular season?
You can carry 45 players on your regular roster. And during the season, if you get somebody hurt, you can put somebody on injured reserve, bring in another player, which still means 45, and then you have another one in reserve. But he has to stay out for a number of games before he can come back, providing he is healthy enough to come back.
What about the game of football itself? It's you know, I think the pro game is getting more popular every year, don't you?
Well, it seems to be, Bob, and I hope it continues its popularity. As long as we can provide good entertainment, good competition for the fans, I think they're going to keep coming to the ballpark. And that's what I think is good about Chicago. Chicago has been selling out Soldier Field for quite a number of years. I think the fans are excited. They all have always been excited. They've always been looking for a winner. And naturally, we're hoping for a Super Bowl one of these days. But let's hope that we can do better than we did last year. Last year, we were 10-6. We lost that first playoff game, and we hope to go further than that this year.
Yeah. That first playoff game was against?
It was against Philadelphia. And as you will remember, we had a halftime lead of 17-10. We came out. In the third quarter, Walter breaks about an 85-yard run, and they call it back. And we might have been down up 27-10 at that point, but they came back, and we could just never pick up the momentum after that particular time. We had an interception in the end zone, and they came on and beat us 27-17. So it was the Eagles. We get a chance to play them again this year in the regular season. Again, we have to go back to Philadelphia. I'd like to have played them here, but we'll have to go after him in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is an exciting team.
Well, Philadelphia is getting better, too. They had a good year last year, and their defense is getting better. And, of course, they have Ron Jaworski as their quarterback, and he plays very well for them. And he has that big Carmichael, who's a tough one. He's 6'8", and he has a string going right now. He's broken all records at catching passes in consecutive games. He caught a couple of touchdowns against us last year, too.
How is St. Louis going to be?
Well, St. Louis, I think they're going to be tough. We don't have to play them, though, and during the regular season, but they're our last preseason game here in Soldier Field, and I'm sure after we licked them 42-6 here in the last game, they're going to come in here with fire in their eyes, even though it's a preseason game.
Yeah. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him as the outstanding head coach of the Bears, Neil Armstrong. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today at Northwest Federal is Coach Neil Armstrong, the head coach of the Bears. Coach, occasionally somebody writes or you hear somebody on the air saying reference to the pro game that it's a dirty game. I don't subscribe to that at all. I think it's a rough and tumble game, the kind of thing that you expect. But you haven't seen any obvious dirty signs, have you?
No, there are occasionally, Bob. There are times when a football player will take a cheap shot at another football player. And, of course, that is commonly described as violence. And the one thing that Pete Rozelle, the National Football League, and all the coaches and all the players in the league are concerned about is violence. And no one teaches a football player to play dirty. No one really is trying to hurt anybody. They're trying, obviously, to tackle people, to make a good block. But nobody ever teaches violence or try to get another player out of a football game. And that's something that we're all looking for and we're trying to diminish in this league. But because I think generally we have a good game, we have a cleanly played game, and we hope we have an entertaining game. And that's what the people are looking for, a competitive, clean football game that everybody enjoys.
Well, it gets more popular every year. Pro football really ripe, high on the list. Popularity with the fans around the nation. Nice of you to come over today. You're looking well. You're looking mentally, that side of the game. Does that bother you, the worry about the game?
Well, you always worry about whether you're going to win or lose, but the thing is, if you lose, you can't wait until the next week so you get an opportunity to win. If you win, you don't have much time to really think about it and enjoy it because you have to start work on the next one. But believe me, I'd rather look back and enjoy that win for a few hours and get ready for the next one than I would to worry about losing or whether we're going to lose again.
That's right. Coach, thanks so much for being with us today. Lots and lots of luck to you.
Bob, thank you very much. It's always my pleasure to be with a class gentleman like yourself.
Thank you very much, Coach. One of the outstanding coaches in the pro game, Neil Armstrong of the Bears. And we said many times the Bears are in good hands with Coach Armstrong. Well, have a nice day. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next weekend at our usual time.